I guess I'll just get, start with my background and my history, my childhood history, because it really does, in a huge, huge way, help to explain why I'm here today and why I need to be here today. I was born out in Western Canada, in Edmonton, Alberta, the son of an alcoholic, basically. And alcoholism was something that really ran in my family. I don't know what the genetic implications of that are, but I do know that there were an awful lot of alcoholics in various areas in my family. My father was a pretty confirmed alcoholic. He passed away when he was 58 years old. He had some issues with his heart, and they were, I think, I can't say that alcohol was the reason that he died, but it certainly didn't contribute anything to his health, and I'm sure it might have hastened his demise. Basically, my mother was married to an alcoholic. She had a sister who married another alcoholic. She had a stepsister who was married to two alcoholics. And there's a couple of other people in my family that I'm not sure about, but I'm kind of wondering about. So there just seemed to be a lot of just misuse of alcohol in my family, very dysfunctional. I had a really rough upbringing, quite frankly. I grew up with a lot of lack of nurturing, I would say. My parents were people who, cynically, I would say they probably would have been happier themselves if they hadn't had kids. My mother had some serious mental health issues, and she unfortunately wasn't able to really even take care of her own needs, and she was not able to really take care of us as too well. So, you know, I've only done this a few times, so I'm going to kind of stop and start, and my memory's not the greatest either, so I tend to trip over my words sometimes. But basically, I just grew up with a lot of neglect. My father, unfortunately, his MO was he would drink until something happened. It was normally along the lines of losing a job. And when he did, his method of operation was basically run home, pack his bags, and run away. He was in and out of my childhood a lot of the time when I was pretty young. I have memories of abuse that happened when he was away that probably would not have happened if he had been there. And some of it was pretty horrific, without getting into a lot of the details, because they are pretty black. You know, I just suffered a lot of ritual abuse when I was around 5 years old. It had some religious underpinnings to it too. And it's stuff that I'm dealing with today. When I was about 11 years old, my father was born in Ontario. He moved out west and met my mother out there into Western Canada and raised the family out there. One of the times that he unfortunately got drunk, lost his job, he packed his bags, ran back to Ontario. When I was 11 years old, we basically moved from Edmonton out to Ontario. I would say like almost like immigrants. We packed everything we had in a trunk, or everything we, I should say, that we were going to take with us into a trunk. We pretty well left everything behind. We were like immigrants immigrating to another country. It was just such a bizarre situation. We moved to a small city named Woodstock. It had at the time about 23,000 people there, and it was pretty rough for me. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was a pretty withdrawn, lonely kid. I was bullied a lot. I was beat up a lot. And it was hell. It was absolute hell. I don't know why, but I never got involved when I was younger in alcohol. I never got involved in any drugs whatsoever. My drug of choice basically has been alcohol all my life. I've never really had an issue with any other substance that I got addicted to. And I stayed, I managed to avoid problem drinking until I was 48 years old. I'm 63 right now, but when I was earlier, I think part of the reason that I never got into a lot of stuff was I did a lot of psychotherapy when I was younger, and I dealt with a lot of my early trauma through that process. It was very helpful. It was very healing. It was very facilitating. But I found that there were just some big blocks of just unresolved trauma that just never got resolved. And it's just hard to kind of put on understand why. I think a lot of it might have just been the limitation of the process and the therapy that I did. I did a lot of deep feeling therapy. I did primal therapy. I was in a Gestalt therapy group for 2 years, and it did help. It did. I guess the thing that I got more from anything that I never had before was bonding with people, though. And that for me has always been the critical connection. And I think it explains a lot of my pathological kind of aspects of my life. Just when I get too lonely, it doesn't go so well for me. I did therapy for quite a period of time, about 15 years. Did a lot of good work. Somewhere along the line, though, I disconnected from people. And I think part of it was I spent some time I moved back out west in 2000, probably just on an emotional level, just wanted to be back to where, you know, I got torn out of when I was 11 years old. Unfortunately, when I was out there, I spent most of the time alone. I didn't know anybody out there. And I believe that that's really where the roots of my drinking kind of took place, with the isolation, with the loneliness. I came back 6 years later to Toronto and sat down there and just kind of settled down here. And I've been here ever since. Started drinking around September of 2006. And it was something, again, that, you know, it was something that I never really had any desire to do to any degree. I was always a very light social drinker up until that point, but I was working and I just got into a habit of pretty well every weekday, I would just stop off at a bar and have a couple of beers. And that's kind of how it started. It started very innocuously. It just started very innocently, but it became a habit. And I don't know when it passed from habit to alcoholism, but it did. And it just kind of exploded. It just got to a point where I just drank every day. And I drank every day for about 12 years. And again, over time, because of my drinking, I became more and more isolated. I started to withdraw. I used to work. I've been getting out. I need to go back to work for financial reasons right now. So I kind of got on my resume recently. And I was mortified to find out, basically, I haven't worked since about 2010. I just withdrew from people, basically, and drank every day to deal with my loneliness. I drank every day to deal with just boredom more than anything. It was just a comfort for me. And it worked for a long time. I would go through a routine every day. I was, you could set your watch to my routine, even though I wasn't really doing anything else. I would get up in the morning and the first thing I would do is if I had any alcohol in the house from the prior night, it would go down the drain. And I would make a decision that I was not going to drink today. And that would last up until about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And like clockwork, something would go off in my mind. I'd be off to the liquor store. I'd be off to one of my local bars that I would drink in. And I would start the cycle all over again. I crunched some numbers just to see how many. At one point, I think I did about 6 months of just looking at my bar bills to see how often I drank every month. And basically, I was drinking every day except for 3 months near the end. It just escalated to a point where near the end, I started to break down emotionally. I was that's really what I think what the wake up call was for me. I never got to a point where I don't think my health or my life was in any danger. I never got into any catastrophic accidents or had any calamities, but it just gnawed away at my emotional health, precarious as it was at the time. I went through a period of time where just literally I started crying every day. I was just out of control emotionally. And I knew why, but I didn't know why. I understood it was likely because of my drinking, but it took me a while to just get to the point where I could admit that I was an alcoholic. Backtrack a little bit. We moved around a lot when I was a child, and we moved from various towns to different towns. My father and I lived in a little city called Orillia for 2 years, and I finished high school when I was up there. When I was up there, I found Alateen, And the interesting thing was he really encouraged me to go to the Alateen group, even though he wasn't really doing a lot for his own drinking. But I don't know, there was a part of him that I guess felt that maybe that, you know, I needed some peer support in my life. And I went, it was a positive experience, but I kind of nudged up against the religiosity that's in the traditional literature in that program. Their steps are very similar to AA's steps. And that's always been an issue for me. And I think that was a bit of an impediment for me when I was getting to a point where I wanted to reach out for help. I'm not sure how. I'm sure it was on the internet, or I'm not sure when it happened, but at some point I became aware of secular AA. I came into AA, I came into the secular rooms in May 14th, 2018, basically, and I felt at home right away. I never looked back. From the first meeting that I went to, I felt like for the first time I belonged there. Excuse me. Give me a sec, please. My home group, it's beyond belief. We got three meetings a week. I know crosstalk a little bit, Bridget comes to our meetings, and I see a few other people here who come to our meetings. They're in Toronto. It's just what I needed. It was a perfect storm, the right thing at the right time. I struggled for about six and a half months. I tried my best to stay sober, but there was always this little voice in my head, and I struggled a lot, and I outpoured, I felt a lot of just outpouring of grief. I came in almost from the beginning. I really cut back. I went from drinking pretty well every day to drinking significantly less. But I was somebody that just, I think I knew right from the get-go, I couldn't drink, period. I shouldn't drink, period. I never went through the state of denial that I guess some people struggle with, where, you know, you tell yourself, maybe I can learn to drink in a controlled way or to drink socially. I never had that conflict within myself. And it was tearing me apart. It really, it was just difficult. And I remember I'm so grateful just sitting in some of the meetings that I went through, and some of the meeting after the meeting was just so important for me. There's a little coffee shop. We have Tim Hortons in Canada, which is the local, probably the main local coffee chain here. And there's one right beside the building where my home group is in. And I spent a lot of meetings after the meeting in there and just drinking and kind of the support and just telling people. And many's the time I would sit there and just tell people, a matter of factly, when I leave here tonight, I'm going to go to the liquor store and buy some alcohol and go home and drink it. Nobody tried to stop me. But it was nice just to have that realness and to have that kind of honesty. The one thing that I learned more than anything is I needed to keep coming back to meetings. That was critical for me. I never stopped, and nobody ever made me feel like, you know, nobody ever guilted me for drinking. Nobody ever lectured me. I think a few people kind of got a little bit on me in a supportive way. There's a fine line that I think you kind of walk when you're trying to help somebody, but you know, they have to make the decision themselves. And you know, I'm just really, really grateful to the people that were, you know, kind of my mentors in AA and taught me just how to figure this thing out. It took me 6.5 months. I did an outpatient at a hospital here, which was helpful. It was for addicts. I think I was in it for about 6 weeks. I built up, I think, 37 days of sobriety, which for me at that point was huge. Prior to that, I think I had done 20 days, and those were the longest periods of sobriety I had up until that point. But I went back out a few times. I ended up doing an inpatient. It was to be a 28-day inpatient at a place actually within walking distance of my home group. And it was supposed to have been 28 days, but I cracked. I have a lot of PTSD, and I found it very, very difficult to live communally. Not so much during the daytime, but unfortunately, they bunked everybody in rooms where there were two or three beds in each room, and they gave me a couple of of roommates that I just couldn't deal with and I couldn't handle. And I snapped one night, and I just, the individual I was sleeping with, he was a street person. His personal hygiene wasn't particularly great. He snored, and I just thought, I can't do this. And I grabbed my bag and I just left. One of the positives in just on my way out the door, though, was just to have a fairly prolonged discussion with one of the counselors there. And he was really genuine and he was trying to help me. And he did say a couple of things to me that did stick in my mind, which is one of them was he never, you know, alcohol, he never really grasped, things didn't change for him until he realized alcohol wasn't his problem. His problem was himself. He said that. And the other thing he said, basically said, was it didn't change until I realized I can't pick up a drink, period. And that stayed with me when I left that place. I struggled still after that. I took naltrexone, which is an anti-craving medication in the early days. Actually, I think I was taking it in the, come to think of it, in the inpatient they did as well. That did help. And I guess, you know, maybe people would think somebody bailing in an inpatient after 5 days when you're supposed to be there for 28 days would be a failure. But all I can say is I haven't drank since I got out of there. So it worked for me. I haven't drank since then. Like I said earlier, I've been sober since December 3rd, 2018. I don't know how long I've been going here. I guess about 18 minutes or something. I'll just a little morph a little bit ahead to how things are for me right now. You know, as I said earlier, I was kind of going back and forth as to whether I should do this or not. And one of the reasons is I'm trying to kind of find myself again in AA, because I feel like I'm very, my recovery from alcohol is pretty strong. It's pretty robust. And I think as long as I take care of the basic things, I'm going to be safe. I don't feel like I'm going to go back out again. Unfortunately, a lot of the trauma that I have suffered through in my life as a child has come up again a lot. I just about 3-4 months ago, I think the middle of July, I started working with a therapist again. I'm working with an incredibly talented person who's also in the program. She's also in AA, and she has an addiction background as well as a psychotherapy background. And I feel so lucky that she reached out to me to offer to help me. And I'm seeing her usually a couple times a week. One thing that has come up a lot, and I haven't, is I have a sex addiction in addition to this. And I would say that the sex addiction is a lot more deeply rooted in my existence, in my life, and my history, and my trauma than my alcohol addiction was. It's something, the roots of it have basically been there since I've been a small child. And that's what we're working on now. So I think about 95 days abstinent from that, which is, for me, it's an even bigger mountain to climb. In some respects, because I think it's a lot more deeply rooted. And that's what I'm in right now. And I think a lot of it's just really interesting how a lot of the things that happened when I was in early recovery from alcoholism, they're starting to play themselves out again in my early abstinence from this issue that I'm in there. The way my brain is working, my brain circuitry, and just falling into kind of a mindset where I want to express it. I want to act out, but I think I learned a lot when just coming off of alcohol, and I'm not relapsing from that. I haven't, you know, I'm still in early recovery. I'm just over 90 days, but I haven't, it's been there right from abstinence has been there right from the beginning since I started pretty well working with this person. So, I'm really grateful for the things that I've learned in AA. And has taught me that. And that's one of the lessons I think that has been really, really valuable for me, was just to learn what I've taken from this. And I don't know. I haven't done this in a long time. I think it's been several months since I've spoken at a meeting. I think I'm just going to, I think I'll close it off there. And I thank you, Bridget, for inviting me to do this. I, like I said, I had some mixed feelings and a fair amount of anxiety doing this today, but I'm glad that you asked me. So I'll just wrap it up, and it's good to be here.